We're going to begin our outdoor worship service tonight. It's a beautiful fall evening, very pleasant temperatures outside. We're going to start by singing number 652, and following this, we will have our opening prayer. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for such a beautiful day that we've been given here and for this opportunity that we have to worship. Dear Lord, we're so grateful for this venue that we have, that we're able to gather together in your name and to worship you. And dear Lord, as we enjoy this weather and we see the changes in the seasons, we are reminded so much of your power. And we're so thankful that we are able to see this every day in our lives through your creations and through the works that are being done in your name, the good works that are being done in your name in this world. And dear Lord, we pray that as we continue on and we see issues that are brought up and we see the divisiveness that occurs, that we know that it is all in your hands, dear Lord, and we know that there is such a greater power that is through you. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for your Son. And as we just sang, we are so grateful that we've been saved through his name and through his sacrifice, dear Lord. And as we continue through our lives, that we keep that sacrifice in our minds and that our focus always be to live as Christ and to follow the way and to bring others to know your name and to know your grace and to know the hope that we have through you, dear Lord. Dear Lord, as we continue with this worship, we pray that we do so with gleeful hearts and open hearts. And we pray that all this is done according to your will, dear Lord, and that it is pleasing to you. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Our next song will be number 615. And following this, we will have our scripture reading and our lesson brought to us tonight. There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whisper sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall live with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Our scripture reading will be from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. That's John 15, 1 through 5. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean, because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing.
Good evening. Good to see all of you with us this evening. A good number here in our parking lot and enjoying nature. And we trust there's several of you out there as well watching virtually, and we're glad you have joined us. It's just marvelous to look around and see the beauty of this place. Many have already talked about how beautiful the leaves are turning. And if you'll notice, the grounds are really well kept, wouldn't you agree? And you know why that is, don't you? James Hunt, who happens to be sitting over in that van back there, James spends a lot of time here pruning and blowing leaves and all the things it takes to make sure this place looks great. And it does, and we all need to thank James for the time he spends helping to make this place look so nice. But you make it look nice tonight by coming out and opening your heart to the Lord. And for that, we are very grateful. As we have said, this will be our last 6 o'clock outdoor worship service. Who knows? We might come up with a 2 or 3 o'clock outdoor service. We don't know. That's just speculating right now. But it'll be changing time next Sunday. And so it'll be too dark for us to do this next time around. But just stay tuned. We're going to continue trying to be creative within the bounds of Scripture and do everything we can to have opportunities like this. If you noticed some problems this morning with YouTube, you were not alone. It was an issue with YouTube, we feel very certain, because we know of at least one other congregation in the area that had the same issues, and service was interrupted at times. And again, we stress, if you are in that situation, just jump over to Facebook Live or the audio live stream that we have on our website, And you have those options as well. And so far, we've done very well with those options. But we do what we can. We make the best use we can of the tools we have. And thanks to these guys who are always good about doing the technology stuff and others that are working with them on that, we appreciate all of that. So get your Bible out. Let's get into the Word. And if you've already turned away from John chapter 15, we'll get back there. That's where we're going. And almost the entire time we will spend in John chapter 15. First of all, I'll mention something that happened a while back. I don't know exactly how long ago, a year or 2 years ago maybe. I went downstairs to get some clothes out of the dryer, and they weren't dry. I mean, I know I had turned on the dryer. That part I know I had done, but the clothes were not dry. And so immediately my first thought was, is it time already to get a new clothes dryer? But being the miser that I am, I went on YouTube and other places to find out what could be causing this. And one of the things that I found, I said, it couldn't be that. But it was. The plug was not completely pushed into the outlet. The 220-volt plug had apparently gotten shaken loose by the vibrating of the clothes dryer. And it was partially plugged in so that the motor would turn, but the heating elements would not heat. And thus, wet clothes. Well, that kind of introduces us to the idea that we're going to be looking at tonight. And as we look at John's Gospel in John chapter 15, we're going to be talking about a vital connection. Now, Jesus didn't say anything about electricity. He knew about it, of course, being God, but the world did not know about it at that time. But he's talking about a connection that is even more vital than that. We can live without electricity. Our great-grandparents did, and many others before them. But there's another kind of connection that we've got to have, and that's what Jesus talks about in this particular chapter. So let's look together at a vital connection. And in John 15, I find three different reasons why this connection to Jesus is so vital. First of all, it is a connection that is vital for bearing fruit. A connection that is vital for bearing fruit. Now, first of all, let's talk generally about the vine. This is a very important image. It was important to the people of Israel, especially. I'm told that in Herod's temple, there was a golden vine that adorned the facade of the temple. A very large and, it was just eye-catching. And why a vine? Because a vine often represented Israel in the Old Testament. And I'm just going to read this passage. You don't need to turn there, but Jeremiah 2, verse 21 is representative of that. Jeremiah said on behalf of God, "Yet I planted you a choice vine, holy of pure seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become a wild vine?" And Isaiah used similar imagery in saying, I dug the ground, I planted the best vine possible, and all I got were wild grapes. So Israel was often depicted in the Old Testament as God's vine. And that becomes significant now when we look at John 15 and verse 1, because what does Jesus say? I am the true vine. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. And so right away, we know the image that we're going to be talking about. It was an image familiar to all that were listening to Jesus then, and it is familiar to most of us as well. And so he says, I'm the true vine, not the one that was supposed to turn out one way and then really never lived up to its calling. I am the true vine. And that also tells us there is now a change in covenant about to happen. Because under the covenant made with Moses and the people of Israel, Israel was that vine. But now Jesus said, I am the true vine, and that implies there is a change in covenant coming ahead. Jump down to verse 5 of this same chapter, John 15, and again, everything else we're going to say tonight will be from John 15. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And so now the image is complete. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you, the people to whom he was talking there immediately, but also all of his disciples, you are the branches. And there is a connection that must take place, a connection that must be maintained, and that's what we're going to be seeing over and over again this evening. Craig Keener, in his New Testament background commentary, makes this observation. The word abide is the verb form of dwelling place. The most basic point of the imagery is the obvious dependence of branches on the vine for their continued life. And that just makes sense, right? If you have a vine, whether it be a tomato vine or a grapevine or a rose vine, the branches have to remain connected. Otherwise, there is nothing to supply that life-giving nutrient. So Jesus is giving us the image now. It is a connection that is vital. Now, to the point, it is vital for bearing fruit. And let's go back to verses 1 and 2, and we'll see it again. John 15, verses 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Are you getting the idea that that's the reason for branches to exist? The vine is there, of course, to supply the nutrients, but the branches are there to provide fruit, to bear fruit. And he says if they don't bear fruit, they are gathered together and taken away. If they do bear fruit, they're pruned, which is a painful experience for branches, I suspect, but it's something designed to bring forth even more fruit bearing. Go on down to verse 4 now and look again at what he says. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So again, if we want to bear fruit, and we have to, he says if we don't bear fruit, we're gathered and taken away. So if we want to bear fruit, there's only one thing that we can do, and that is remain connected, remain attached to the vine. And if anything separates us from the vine, we've got problems. In verse 6, Jesus went on and said this, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. And none of us want that to happen to us. And Jesus is again giving us a warning that we've got to bear fruit if we want to remain with the Lord, and that means, again, staying connected. And then finally on this point, look at verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. And that should be our greatest motivation. Fear will motivate us. I don't want to be taken away and burned, of course. But this is the greater motivation. I want to glorify the God that brought me into existence, that gave me the opportunities that I have. And the way to glorify God is to bear much fruit. And what does it mean to bear much fruit? Well, there's been a lot of talk about that, but I think it's very simple, and that is that we do what the Lord wants us to do. If we are connected to the Lord, if we are connected to the vine, then he provides the direction, he provides the abilities that we have, and we do what he tells us to do. You could think about Galatians chapter 6, or rather chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is one of those ideas. You could talk about bringing others to Christ. That, again, would be bearing fruit for the Lord. And all of that will come naturally. And I want you to get that point. It will be a natural result if we are truly connected to the vine. We don't have to force it. It's not like we have to say, oh, I've got to really do this. No, if we are connected to the Lord and growing in his nurture and admonition, then we will bear fruit because we'll become more like him. So bearing fruit is so important. And the only way we can do that is to be connected to the vine. Secondly, a connection that is vital for loving one another. It is vital that we be connected to the vine if we're going to love one another. Now, we've talked about this a little bit before. Prior to this discourse that begins in chapter 13, there had been some squabbles among the disciples. There had been times when they had this argument, well, who's going to be the greatest when Jesus comes into his kingdom? Who's going to be the Secretary of State? Who's going to be, you know, the Supreme Court Justice? And on, like people do. And there was that one time where the mother of James and John came to Jesus and said, I want you to put my sons in positions of power. And you remember what the other disciples did, at what it said about them when they heard about it? Matthew tells us this in Matthew 20, verse 24, they were indignant. They were angry. They were jealous. And they were probably thinking, well, why didn't we think about getting our mothers over here before their mother came? But you see, there was that rivalry. And it's natural when people spend a lot of time together. We tend to see them as they are. We start picking at faults. And we get angry at one another. And Judas was about to be exposed as a betrayer of Jesus. And do you think that might have colored the way they looked at one another after that? They might have said, well, we had no idea Judas was planning to do that. I wonder about you. I wonder if you're going to be the next one to betray our Lord or to betray us. And so, again, there was the danger that they would fall into some kind of disunity. So love was so important. If this kingdom is really going to take off and go and grow, the disciples must be united, and that's why love is so critical. In chapter 15 of John, look at verses 9 through 11. Verses 9 through 11, and Jesus lays the groundwork here by talking about himself and his Father and the love that they had for each other. He says in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. And again, that's being connected to the vine. Abide in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So Jesus says, love is what we're all about. You've been around me now for 3 years. You've seen the love I have for people. It's the love I have with my Father above. And your joy will be greater if you fully engage in this life, if you obey the commandments that I give you. Well, what are those commandments? Well, look at verse 12. Immediately following this discussion, listen to what Jesus says next. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's the commandment that Jesus gives, that you love one another as I have loved you. And it's still a commandment that he has for us. It's not something that is optional. Well, I kind of love these people, but I really love these. They're a lot more like me. That's not an option that Jesus gives us. Jesus tells us to love one another as I have loved you. And remember, Jesus has just washed their feet. And he knew that Judas was going to go and betray him. He washed his feet nonetheless. And he knew that every one of the other 11 apostles was going to forsake him. And Peter would deny him 3 times. And yet he loved them. And he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And if you miss it there, go on to the next verse, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Now, they were not yet clear on what was about to happen. Later, they would look back on this statement and they would say, oh, now we get it. We saw what he was willing to do for us, how he could have called down more than 12 legions of angels, how he could have come down from the cross when he was being taunted. And yet he stayed there. He laid down his life for us. And so Jesus said, this is the kind of love I'm calling you to show toward one another. But Lord, how can we do that? By remaining connected. That's part of this discourse. is being connected and thus being able to show that love for one another. And then down in verse 17, he says it again. He says in verse 17, these things I command you so that you will love one another. You will love one another. And again, the only way they could accomplish this, I mean, how can I feel like doing the right thing for people I don't really like? I look at Jesus. I make it my aim to model my behavior after the behavior of Jesus. And that's the only way I can do it. I remain connected to the vine. Aesop lived at a time before Jesus came to this earth. And he told this this fable that I think is very helpful on this point. He said, a lion used to prowl about a field in which four oxen used to dwell. Many a time he tried to attack them, the lion did. But whenever he came near, they turned their tails to warn another, so that whichever way he approached them, he was met by the horns of one of them. At last, however, they fell a quarreling among themselves. The oxen began quarreling among themselves, and each went off to pasture alone in the separate corner of the field. Then the lion attacked them one by one and soon made an end of all four. And then Aesop attached this lesson, in case you missed it, united we stand, divided we fall. And that's, again, the reason why we are to love one another. If we love one another as a church, then Satan doesn't pull us down easily, because we're all going to come to one another's aid. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to try to reclaim the erring brother if we love one another. And so Jesus says, if you remain attached to the vine, you will love one another. And then third, another reason to remain connected, a vital reason to be connected to the vine, is to endure persecution. To endure persecution. Persecution was playing out in front of their eyes. They were going to see it in a very powerful way as Jesus was arrested. He would be arrested very soon. And then they would take him away and treat him terribly. And so they would see that. And that was going to be a question for them. Are we going to hang in here and have the same thing happen to us? Well, then, of course, Jesus was raised from the dead, and they saw the power of God. But again, they had to ask the question, is this going to happen to us? Are we going to be persecuted like our Lord was? And Jesus wanted them to be very clear on this point. Look at verses 18 and 19 of John 15. Again, still within the context of this discussion, he says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Jesus was telling them point blank, you're going to be hated. Do you think the message is any different for us today? Now, that doesn't mean we go looking to be hated. We try to do things that are good for people. We try to be friends to everyone. But because we follow the Lord, there will come those times of separation where the world will see, you're not like us, and you don't toe the line like we do on this issue or on that issue, and now we're going to turn our hate toward you. And brethren, you know that day is coming for us. It's already becoming clear. The world is drawing some lines, and we're not on their side. So how will we respond? But Jesus is telling the people here, you're going to be hated. Why? Because I chose you out of the world. Jesus brings us to that point of decision. Do I follow him and accept the persecution, or do I take the easy way out and just go along with whatever the world tells me? And only if I remain connected to the vine will I be able to endure that persecution. Go to verse 20. Remember the word, he says, that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. And so there again, Jesus reminds them, I went through this. Do you think that you're going to escape it? The servant is not greater than his master. You will too be persecuted. And they were. Legend tells us, now scripture tells us about one or two of them, how they suffered for the Lord. But legend tells us that all of the apostles died mostly by the sword or by martyrdom, and John by exile to a very uncomfortable place. And you see, the idea is they had to make their decision. Do I keep on following the Lord, or do I take the easy way out? And they obviously said, we're going to stay connected to the vine and endure. Verse 21, all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. And there's the reason why the world hates us. They don't know God. They don't know God the Father. They know the father of this world, Satan, and they follow his will, as Jesus said in John 8:44. But we follow the Father above, the Father of heaven. And as a result, we're going to be persecuted, and there will be that separation. And then one more time, look at verse 23 of John 15, where Jesus says, whoever hates me hates my Father also. Now, few Christians would ever say, I hate Jesus. But by our actions, if we're not willing to stay firm in our commitment to the Lord and continually choose holiness as opposed to worldliness, that is, in effect, what we are saying. And if we're not true to the Lord, to Jesus, then we're not true to the Father either. And that is a very dangerous position for anyone to be in. So again, a third reason here for being connected to the vine is this will enable me to endure persecution. And that time will come for each of us, I dare say. We're going to be called upon. Do you believe this? I mean, I've heard that your church teaches this or believes that. Is that you? And we may say, well, you know, there's some people there that do, but not all of us do. And we try to wiggle out of the persecution that may follow. We got to stand firm. We got to stand for the truth, not just what people believe, but what the Word of God actually teaches us. And again, our world is growing more secular, less faith-friendly. And when we are identified as people that hold some of the views that we do, the world will turn its attention to us, and they'll try to pressure us into abandoning our positions. We got to be connected to the vine, not just to the church, to the Lord himself. He is the vine. We are the branches. Isaac Watts put it very beautifully in a song that we used to sing a lot more than we do now. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. We are all soldiers of the cross, and we're going to either fail or succeed based on how strong our connection is to the Lord. N.T. Wright, in his commentary on this passage, raises a very practical question. We've been talking about remaining connected to the Lord, to the vine, and he says this, the urgent question then is this, how do we remain in him or abide in him? How do we do that? What does it look like in practice? And then he suggests this. We must remain in the community that knows and loves him and celebrates him as its Lord. There is no such thing as a solitary Christian. We can't go it alone. But we must also remain as people of prayer and worship in our own intimate private lives. We must make sure to be in touch, in tune with Jesus, knowing him and being known by him. So what do we mean by being attached to the vine? It means being serious about being Christians. Not being a once a week kind of Christian. You know, I go to church and I check off that box and now let's get on to our real life. No, it is our daily life. It is in our DNA now. This is who we are. And we strive to make our connection with the Lord as tight and as close as we possibly can. Wonderful blessings flow from Jesus to his disciples, but only if they remain connected. Again, John 15 and verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Are you in Christ? The Bible only gives a couple of passages in which it uses that word, into Christ. And in both those passages, it is baptism that is the final step. Galatians 3, 26 and 27, for example, you're all sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so there's where we need to start. Have I obeyed that simple plan of salvation? Have I confessed my faith that Jesus really is God's Son? And turned away from my sins, repenting of them, and been baptized into Christ? And then have I been faithful? Or have I wandered away? Have I allowed sin to pull me off the path and I'm still not back? Come back. The Lord is glad to receive, is abundant in mercy, and he'll forgive you if you'll repent of your sins as an erring Christian. And restore you to your place of service. If we can pray with you, send a message to one of the email addresses on your screen. If you need to be baptized into Christ, let us know. We want to help anybody that has that need. Let's think about these things and remain connected to the vine.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
For those of you here, or perhaps online at home, that have not had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, we're going to take just a couple of moments to do that. And in order to prepare our minds for that, we'll sing number 318. Does anybody need communion cups? One, two. Raise your hand if you do.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. All right, let's sing.
Oh, sacred head, now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded, with thorns thine only crown, how art thou pale with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn. How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn? What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for thus some dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love to thee.
Like we do every Sunday, we will now take the Lord's Supper. We do this to remember Jesus and to continue helping frame our thoughts. I'd like to ask a question. Is Jesus for you? And here's the answer to that question. If you are a sinner and need forgiveness, Jesus is for you. If you carry wounds and scars and need healing, Jesus is for you. If you have ever made a mistake so big you thought you could never come back from it and you need redemption, Jesus is for you. If you feel worn out from the hardships and toils of life and need rest, Jesus is for you. If you feel alone or cast out from the world and need a friend, Jesus is for you. If you feel lost and need direction in your life, Jesus is for you. Forgiveness, healing, redemption, rest, a friend, or direction. We Christians have access to all of these things thanks to the sacrifice of Jesus. If you would go ahead and please pull back that first film covering the bread. And then we'll pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to remember your Son, Jesus. And we thank you for this bread. And Lord, we know this represents Jesus' body that he gave for us. And Lord, we remember the life that he lived. and the friend that he was, the hope that he brought to so many. And Lord, we carry that hope in our hearts now, because we know that though he died, Jesus lives today. Thank you, Lord, and bless us as we take this bread. In your Son's name, amen. Now, if you would pull back the second film covering the juice, we'll continue the Lord's Supper. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for the love of Jesus. Thank you for the blood that we now remember. And Lord, we know that it is this blood that cleanses us from our sins, that gives us new life. Lord, thank you for that new life. Help us to walk every day in newness of life. In your Son's name, amen. As a separate part that we do now, I'd like to also like to call your attention to the command that we contribute financially to the Lord's work. And we've got lots of methods and mechanisms and ways for you to do this. One thing I would like to encourage you, though, if you've never done so, maybe talk to some of our deacons or our elders to learn about how some of these funds are used. You'll get an opportunity to learn more about the works that you are contributing to. You may also find an opportunity, a new opportunity, to be involved in a ministry that we are taking part in. So for those who are making contributions and those sorts of things, let's pray for those. Lord, we know that every good thing that we have comes from you. And Lord, you have given us so many good things. We thank you for blessing us financially, Lord. And we pray that you would give us wisdom and that you would help us to follow your commandments and to use our money wisely and to contribute to the work of this church. We pray, Lord, for those who use these funds to do so wisely. And Lord, we pray that through our church, many, many others would be blessed and come to know Jesus. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Let's have our closing prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity you've blessed us with together this evening. We pray that everything we did here was in accordance with your will and to your glory, Lord, and we pray that we never take for granted the opportunity together. Lord, we thank you for Tim and his ability to deliver a message, Lord, and we thank you for the reminder that you bless us with the opportunity to be connected to the vine, Lord, and that even when we fail you, that even when we sin, that through your grace, you can keep us connected, Father. Lord, we pray for all those who are hurting right now, those who are sick, those who have lost jobs, those who are just fearful or even lonely. Lord, pray that you're with them, of course, but also that we have an understanding of how we can help those people. Father, we just pray that you go with us this week. Help us be an example of how Christians should act, an example of how Christ loved us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.